And I'd like to call to order today's proceedings regarding the Board of Equalization this July 22nd, 2011. And I believe the Mr. and Mrs. Katz?
Yes.
You are our first appointment today. Yay! And we're very close to being right on time. Would you like to come up to the podium? My voice is not very strong today, so if you'll bear with me.
If you prefer, I'll just shout twice as much so.
That's perfect. And look at these guys when you do that.
Okay.
Love it.
My name is Paul Katz. My wife is here, Joanne Katz. We received an assessment on property working back from the 19%. The property assessment is for $191,000, and that's up from the previous year of $170,000. And actually, I think we have a very easy case to deal with this morning when we deal with the value of the real estate, because I bought that real estate on December 21st, I think it was, of 2010, just within a month of the assessment date. I understand that most of the time the problem is people who have a piece of real estate that they've had for many years, and how do we value it in today's market? Well, this you can value just based on the sales price and the fact that it was negotiated by parties who all had an interest in the price. I've got to talk about the property for a minute. What I'm saying is that this sale was made in the regular market. I bought it from a bank that was making it as a bankruptcy sales. Sales by banks are often. When I presented this same information to Mr. Strahan, he refused to consider my actual sales price. I'm talking about a difference between $147,000 and $191,000.
Is $147,000 what you purchased or paid for the property?
I'm going to explain that in just a moment.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. Mr. Strahan refused to consider the actual sales price. He claimed that the bankruptcy sales by banks are often based on fraud and the values are not reliable evidence of value. Well, I didn't buy it from my sweet little old aunt. I bought it from the bank. I told him that the price was negotiated at arm's length. I contained numerous offers and counteroffers. I told him that the property had stood vacant for 2.5 years while the developer had every opportunity to sell at a higher price, but he had no takers. I want to put on the record that we were not in any way involved in a fraudulent act to lower the value of the price as it's presented to devalue the property for property tax purposes. The information that I have to show you that what the price was is that I've attached a copy of the closing document, and it shows a price of $155,000. And I will later talk to you about $8,000 of personal property that was included in the sale. So that's how I come down to the $147,000 we're talking about. The assessed value for this $147,000 is about $28,000 of assessed value rather than the $36,000 we originally received. So the first point that I wanted to make is that this was a sale that was made very close to the assessment date, and it was made between third parties, and it was a fair and legitimate sales price. I have enclosed, as part of the information, a sheet of paper. It says comparable property sales, and the second sheet of that, if you want to put that on the board, yes, you got that there. That was a group of sales that were made close to the sale of our property, and on the left-hand side, I took the sales price and I took the square feet, and it shows what the price is per square foot as a common denominator. And the purpose of my showing this is that you will see that my property is, there's another one that I gave that's a little bit, that has one change. Well, we could use this one. The fourth one down is our property. it shows there, well, it shows 101.83, but it shows a sales price of $155,000. When I did, I'm claiming $147,000, which would make my number $96.52. And you can see there's a property for $76,000, $89,000, those are lower. There's some that are higher, and down towards the bottom we have some others that are $81,000 and $75,000. Those bottom two are my neighbors. And so those are houses that were sold right at the same, nearly the same time. And you can see that my, what I'm claiming, my $96, is not an unreasonable price for the property. And it's the price that we negotiated. It was based on the values that we received. So I wanted you to see that the price that I'm claiming is reasonable compared to other comparable sales. Now I'd like to tell you a little bit about what went on. I'm saying that my property cost $147,000. It has 1,522 square feet, and that's $96.52 per square foot. Mr. Strahan presented to me only one property, which is the one next to the bottom that I say 8185 there. He presented one property. He told me it was 1,611 square feet and has a tax base of $172,968, which was $107.37 per square foot, and he wanted me to agree with him at that tax rate. I told Mr. Strahan that I had been inside Building 10 at Legends and that it was two stories and it's much larger than he stated. The house is included as the last, next to the last item on that chart, and the house actually sold for $200,000, not $172,000, but it has 2,446 square feet, and the sale price is about $82 a square foot. I've included a photograph of that other house just to, if anyone doesn't recognize, doesn't believe me that it was a two-story building. I have a picture, and it's included in your stuff. But there's a picture of it, and it's clearly a two-story building, not a one-story building. So the square feet he said was 1,600 square. I'm so sorry that your copy didn't come out well.
We've got it on our computers.
Okay. But the point is that the piece of information that he gave me was totally in error. It was his square feet was wrong, and of course it sold recently at a different price. And I could not agree with him at $107 a square foot. And I just knew that that information was false at the time I met with him. That's the reason why I'm here. We have this discordant information, and we just need to make it right. I said the last thing that I'm going to talk about is the value of personal property included in the purchase. I have a sheet that I've included there. What I did is that I have enclosed counteroffer 3 and an amendment in the negotiation, which lists that there are certain items of personal property that go along to me in the sale. And it's the things that you often see, refrigerator, dishwasher, oven, microwave, the washer and dryer, the blinds and curtains, and there were four bar stools. All of that is included as personal property, separately identified when I made my purchase with the bank. There was a list of things. And I... if you need to see it, well, it's included in your papers, the documents behind it. So what I did is they didn't come to me with price tags on them. And so what I did is I went to Lowe's and I priced out either the same model and the same manufacturer. And I'm returning to you a list of the things. The price for a 26-foot refrigerator was $999. The price for a Frigidaire dishwasher was $399, all the way down the list, and it came to $8,094. Well, I paid $155,000, but $8,000 $1 million of that was for personal property, not real estate. And so even though I have a $155,000 purchase, I'd like you to consider that that purchase included non-taxable issue items as well. So what I would like to see from the board is that instead of this $191,000, I would like you to use $146,905 as the value of my property. If you do so, the assessed value would be $27,912. That's my request, and I don't want it at the lowest price of all of the properties sold or the highest price of the other properties sold. I just wanted to be recognized that my price was fairly bargained for within a month of the assessment date, and that I was presented with information that was totally unacceptable and factually wrong to go by. So that's my presentation to you, folks. Are there any questions that you have for me?
Gentlemen?
I just got a sale listed on the big sale sheet of you guys. The next door property sold in March 2011 for $190,200. And one comment on the deduction of $8,000 worth of personal property. We don't take into consideration the real estate appraisal practices. Generally, call some of those items goes with the house. It doesn't matter whether they're in it or out of it. It's a general practice that you accept that there is a washer and dryer in a new house to be sold. And as far as using the word fraud, I would much prefer that this board throw that out of their conversation. I don't ever remember the conversation occurring. And when you use the word fraud, you're getting very, very delicate.
That's correct, sir. I remember the conversation, and I was incensed at it, and that's part of the reason we're in front of this board today. I felt that you were outside the boundaries of why you're of what I expect an elected officer to be fair. That's the bottom line of it, and I felt that those comments that I received were not fair.
May I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Strahan, you did say that. And I know Ron Hausman knows me for probably 40 years. I was a country mart lady.
Yes, of course.
And I went to church with you. We are not fraudulent people.
I did not ever intend
Okay, you maybe didn't intend it, but you said it. And the part I want to say is we are Christian people, and we expect to be treated as such. My husband dealt with the bank and a realtor in between us and never once, ever did anything fraudulent. And when you say all these things that Paul came about with $8,000 normally or in a new house, this was a house that no one had ever lived in. And the builder, when he went bankrupt, didn't put all those things in. But the bank did so that it would sell, and that was extra. In fact, there was full of furniture, and he said, I can't even begin to sell you this house with all that furniture in. And we said, we don't want to buy that furniture. We have our own, but we do, you know, the washer and dryer and those kind of things. You know, we paid for that to stay in the house.
I believe that.
So you know that.
I believe that the law defines the difference, what is real property and what is personal property. And I believe that the definition of real property does not include anything you plug into the
I ask for the board to do is turn to their HUD statement, look at the second line. It says personal property, zero. And I believe the HUD people would understand how the value of a home is determined. But if you turn to the closing on the HUD statement, it says personal property zero.
Gentlemen? Jeff?
I think I would be comfortable making a motion to set this property at 155.
I'll second the motion.
I don't mind that.
A motion's been made and seconded to establish the valuation of BOE appeal number 0248 to $155,000. Is there discussion, gentlemen?
Thank you. I appreciate your hearing me.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Within just a few days, you're going to receive written confirmation of what the action was today so that you'll have that. If, in fact, you don't still agree with that figure that's been established by this board, we're going to send you information from the State Tax Commission, which would allow you to take that step if you desire to do that.
Thank you. I won't appeal this. I'm quite satisfied.
Thank you, folks.
Okay.
Good to see you again.
I'm glad to see you. Please tell Brenda I said hello.
I will do that.
Thank you.
First time I've ever seen her in my life.
What?
First time I've ever seen her in my life.
This is Eagles Inn.
Do you have internet access?
It's going up and down right now.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to call. I was going to wait till.
Mine is kind of going kaput.
Yeah, I mean, I can't connect anything right now.
Give us just a moment. I can get in.
Because I'm not able to see.
Here, you can. Let me see what you're connected to.
And do we have this gentleman's name? Is this?
Mr. Elliott, he is here. Is Mr. Trimble?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you,
Gordon,
sir?
Gordon Elliott, the owner of the property in question, which is a 65-unit outside quarter hotel. And today I want to do two things. One, I understand the value as of January 1, 2011. So I brought Kelly Trimble along to speak to the evaluation based on economic conditions. And then I want to speak later about functional obsolescence or secondly. So I think the value is $325,000, and he has it considered functional obsolescence, but I'll let him speak first, and he has something to hand out to you and discuss with you. Kelly Trimble.
Kelly, before you start.
Yes.
Okay, and you believe the valuation to be at $325,000. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry.
I think they've got it up, but I've printed several copies or a few copies of these.
Perfect.
I find it hard to get seen just like a list and browse through it and it'll go right out.
Can I correct that to 350? I think I wrote 350.
Yeah. Okay, and they've got it. They were recycled just a second ago, if you can get to it.
The 1-1.
You had the page brought up there a minute ago. That one right there, I believe. Yeah, click that. Anyway, looking at the first page, James has this on, if I can find it, for $1,108,800. He's valuing the land at $3 a square foot and putting the improvements on for just short of $900,000. I didn't get a copy of his card, but the way he usually does that is based on a cost approach, figuring replacement cost new and depreciating it for physical deterioration. And he typically does not recognize economic obsolescence. I'm proposing a much lower value. I'm looking at giving it the benefit of the doubt and not really getting into the functional problems specific to this property, that the thing is worth no more than the $640,000. Gordon will get up in a few minutes and talk about the functional issues to make a case that is probably worth even less than that. The evidence that I have, if you go through a couple more pages, this property, I guess you guys are familiar with where it is and what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a presentation of the income that he's reporting for the last few years right there. And the important number to look at here is year ended of December 2010, which is contemporaneous with the date of valuation. He's reporting a gross operating a gross total revenue of $222,868. There has been a steady decline in the income if you go a couple pages beyond that, right there. You can see that 2010 income is roughly a 30% drop from the peak income in 2006. This number, I didn't put this into this presentation, but this number is consistent with other motels, with the sales tax revenues on motels reported in the city of Branson. All the data that's out there says motel revenues are declining. They've declined something on the order of a third to a half. Some have declined, not as much, but this is a non-franchise motel in an area that is obviously overbuilt with motels around the Shoji, Tabuchi, and IMAX theaters. going on to the next page, the first indication of value is just a sales comparison using just a gross income multiplier. Using a multiplier three times gross, which is really kind of the upper end of the limit in current parlance, comes up with $670,000. You subtract an allowance for the furniture, fixtures, equipment, that gets to a real estate value of $640,000. The FF&E, I'm just figuring at a flat $500 per unit, which if you got more detailed, use motel furniture, just not bringing very much, but it, as part of the property, it's probably worth about the $30,000. That comes up with the $640,000. Looking directly at sales, go on to the next page, right there. This is a graph of the per unit sales prices of the motels in the last 2 years that I'm aware of in the market. I've grouped them by season, I guess you might say. These first three were contemporaneous with a January 1, 2009 era. They were just, I think a couple of them were actually in January 2009, one of them was in March or something like that. The ones in green in the middle are contemporaneous with January 1 of 2010, essentially 18 months ago. And then these last four are basically last winter. We kind of look at motels not really selling, you know, 2009 sales, 2010 sales, and so on. We think of between seasons, so it's winter of 2008, 2009, winter of 2009, 2010. That's why they're grouped this way. But basically what we're looking at here, this red line or this maroon line is James's per unit valuation at $16,800 a unit. As you can see, virtually every sale is for the last 2 years has been far below his valuation. The two exceptions are this All-American Inn and Suites, which I can't explain. I call that an outlier. The guy paid too much. The property's already been foreclosed since he bought it. And then the La Quinta is a franchised motel that was grossing in the teens per unit. His gross income per unit was four or five times what this subject property is. So it's not really relevant to the subject. But just the general broad market is far below the $16,800 a unit. And if you look, there's a kind of a progression down. The last several sales have been below $10,000 a unit. We used to kind of think of $10,000 a unit as the floor of value, but we see the market last winter has gone far below that. There, if you scroll through this, there's several pages of the sale write-ups on all these sales that I'm using. You're going to have to go way on down. I picked three of these sales that were almost the latest three. Now go on down. Yeah, let's stop right there. This is some details on all these sales. And I picked this Economy Plus Motel, which is about four doors to the west of the subject property. It's on a level site, and it included a 46-pad RV park. including the RV park, it sold for about $15,000 or $13,000, something like that, per unit. And then the other two I used were Old Matt's Guest House, which was across the street and a couple doors to the west, just on the other side of Shoji from this property. Those two comps you could see from the subject property. And then the third comp I used was the Yellow Rose Motel, which was physically very similar. It was a pre-stressed concrete design built in the same year in about the same physical condition of the subject, but it's in an inferior location. The next page is an adjustment grid, which you can go through at your leisure. The main adjustments to look at are that a couple of these were bank REO. They weren't foreclosure sales, but they were properties that were owned by a bank and put on a market for a period of months before they sold. I adjusted those sales up some for that. And this first sale, I adjusted off $2,500 per pad, and it came to a percentage adjustment for the RV park, subtracted that off to get an indication of value. And when you adjust these all through, they come up to about $10,000 per unit, which, go on to the next page. When you take the $10,200 a unit times the 66 units, you get $670, subtract the personal property, you get another indication of $640,000. Go on to the next page. Another approach to this is the cost approach. This is just a building cost estimate. Shows a replacement cost of about $2.5 million. Go on down to the next page. And the site improvements of $170. Go on down to the next page. And then we have a cost approach summary. Replacement cost of about $2.6 million minus depreciation that I'm figuring gives a contributory value of the improvements of $416,000. Which when you add to the land value of about $3 a square foot, which is what James has it on at. Now, you can make an argument that it may be worth a little less than that because this site has some real problems. It's a steeply sloping site that lies below grade, and Gordon may talk to that, the functional implications of that a little bit later. Comes up with another indication of $640,000. Go back one. The real differences between this cost approach and what the cost approach James is using is right here in this economic obsolescence number. He doesn't recognize economic obsolescence, and I know that a couple of you understand the concept of economic obsolescence, but basically, I could go through a dissertation of what it is, but I guess you're an appraiser or you have some training in it.
Yes.
You understand the concept of economic obsolescence. There are various ways to measure economic obsolescence. The most prevalent one is to look at it, measure an income loss, and capitalize that into an economic obsolescence. But a more straightforward way, if you have the data, is to extract it from the market. Now, if you also notice, I didn't take out anything for functional obsolescence, which Gordon will talk about here in a few minutes. Go on to the next one here, next page. That shows the depreciation estimate. In this, I figured incurable physical deterioration, basically, it's 18 years old. It should have an economic life of at least 40 years. And you run and a similar calculation for the site improvements, and that gives you the physical deterioration. And then we add the economic obsolescence to get a full number of the improvement depreciation. Go on to the next page. All right, we're extracting depreciation from the market. Basically, what we do is take the sales price of each sale, which is on this line, and you subtract the estimated FF&E and the site value. That gives you what the building has sold for. If you can imagine, if you buy a house for $100,000 and you can tell that the lot would have been worth $20,000, that means you paid $80,000 for the improvement. So we're extracting the improvement sales price. From that, we estimate the replacement cost new of the building on each sale, and we subtract the extracted building price, and we can get the extracted actual overall depreciation of each sale. When we relate that to the replacement cost new, we can tell what percentage each sale has depreciated. And we get numbers basically in the 70s back here 2 years ago, and it's coming up to where they're depreciating 80, 85, and 90%, sometimes more, in the last 2 years. If you divide that by the effective age of each improvement, we can show that the market is recognizing a depreciation on the order of 4 or 5% per year as to how much the values of these properties are declining relative to cost new. Now, you can use this data. If you take the inverse of that percentage, it'll tell you that the market is thinking the economic life of these properties is basically in the order of 20 to 22 years, which we know isn't right because their physical life is longer than that. So these depreciation numbers have to include some amount of economic obsolescence. So we can abstract the overall depreciation between physical and economic components. Go on to the next page. Doing a little bit more arithmetic, if we figure that an allowance for the physical depreciation of each sale using a straight line method and assuming an economic life of 40 years on each of them, we can estimate the physical depreciation of each sale, which when we subtract that from the overall depreciation, it'll give us an extraction of the economic obsolescence present in each one of these sales. When we relate those, the economic obsolescence to the replacement cost new, we're finding that 2 years ago, the motels were basically 30-some percent economically obsolete. And here, last winter, they were basically 18 months ago, they were basically 35 to 40. And here lately, they've been going 40 to 50 or 40 to 45. So this is very strong market evidence that you've got around 40 to 45% of replacement cost new being recognized as the market as economic obsolescence, which means the market is paying 40% less relative to cost for these motels. And there's some other things here that abstracts those better. If you look at this, the percentage of depreciation basically says half of the depreciation recognized in the market is economic obsolescence. James, in his calculation, is only, not to slam James too much, because I think he does know what he's doing in some cases, but basically the methodology James is using is recognizing only half of the depreciation that's present in these improvements. So he's going to be above market if he's using a cost approach calculation. Go on down to the next page. I think I got that page in twice. Go on down. Go back to the summary. This number is 40% of that number is how we figure the economic obsolescence, and that's really the low end of what's indicated in the market. It's very possible that it is economic obsolescence may be greater than that, and it's possible that there's functional obsolescence in this property as well. Anyway, when you go through this cost approach calculation, it also indicates 640. Go on to the next page. And which comes to my evidence, we go through a direct physical comparison, take three motels, adjust them to the subject, 640,000. Gross rent multiplied, you know, three times gross is the 640. Go through the replacement cost approach, it comes up with 640, which says my conclusion indicates $640,000. And I'm not really looking at the functional problems with this motel. I think I'm given the kind of benefit of the doubt. So basically, I'm indicating 640, and I guess Gordon is going to go ahead and talk about the functional specifics.
I know your time's short and you got 15 minutes, so I'll make it quick. Basically, this property ends up being a bad deal for me, you know, economically, and I bought a property that I didn't think in terms of the way it laid out, but I've learned that from the customer base. If you could go back to the picture of the backside, you got one physical picture. I don't think you can see it or anything.
You want a physical picture?
Mm-hmm.
We have.
I saw one on there.
Actually, we have all those pictures here.
Okay, look for the parking lot side down there if you've got them.
Got it.
At the very bottom, what you've got is four stories. And if you look on both sides where the rooms are, every one of those parking spaces are slanted. So it's uneven ground. So if you're talking about seniors coming to Branson, that's not desirable. I can't fix that. Everybody else that built a motel, at least they would build parking on the sideways. They'd build parking on the front that was fairly flat. Then you drive down a slope, then you get to another flat space. I can't fix that. My options probably are that it's getting pretty close that I'd be just tear the structure down if I had some way to sell the land. But to sell the land's not very even. So that's where the... Yeah,
actually,
you see it going down here.
Right, but there's a better
picture. I mean, that first level rent but where you park the property.
Scroll down a little further. No, scroll down. Now over on the far left. There you go.
Now, that's what you see from the back.
So yeah. What you're looking at really is it drops two floors is what mm-hmm. it looks like to me. In that.
Nice concrete lot, nice building, but it's kind of like building a restaurant out on a farm road. Ooh, that was a mistake. And I run out of ideas what to do with it, either to take what income I've got and keep trying. But the economics of it is his 3-to-1 ratio will work on a good hotel. You get down to a point where your income's so low and your costs just equal your income, and I'd pay this thing off for the bank. They wouldn't loan money on it. I mean, enough money there for them to have a loan, and so can't foreclose it once it's run. But it's not worth anything to me, hardly. So I'm just barely breaking even, and that's when I have to give personal services I don't charge for. I mean, I have to go, you know, I'm not getting paid for my time. So to make it short, that's where I come up with $350. Questions?
James?
No, I have none.
Okay.
I've got one question. Did you recently purchase this property?
No, I've had it 10 years probably now.
10 years, okay.
I paid in the vicinity of $800,000
for it.
All right. And I've had trouble convincing anybody that I didn't get a good deal on it. I mean, from the standpoint of the county, they think it's worth $1 million, but I paid $800,000, and it's not done. It's going down, not up. I wish it'd appreciate. Most things do, but sometimes you get a building in the wrong place, in the wrong situation, and there's better areas of Branson than out on the strip. And particularly, I haven't seen another hotel where they make. Well, I've seen one. They've already foreclosed. Yeah, I can think of one that's got the same problem, but it's turned over a couple times.
$10,000 per unit?
Yes.
And this is a 65
unit.
That comes out at 650. I think his appraisal came in at
640.
640. Would you be comfortable? I mean,
yeah, that's what the appraisal says.
You need to do the appraisal?
Sure.
640.
Well, we've got other hotels, and I would like to have a conversation about this. And
okay.
If you gentlemen don't mind, and get to the, we're already one, and shortly we're going to be two appointments behind. But and Mr. Elliott, we're going to consider this, and there's going to be recommendations from the board, and we can either call you and chat with you about it. But the board's going to do something. Unless you gentlemen want to make a motion to do something right now, I would feel more comfortable when we look at 3 or 4 more properties to
okay.
set them all in at the same time. Nathan?
Well, don't we have to meet some compelling evidence before I want to go a lot lower than what Mr. Trimble's appraised it for?
Right.
But we can wait.
I mean, that's what I'm looking to.
We got Mr. Elliott's phone number. So if we will put that off, we will make a decision very soon, and we will contact you with that right away. Thank you for your time, sir. Thank you, Kelly. I'm going to put hold. Eddie? No sweat, Eddie. You got 4 minutes.
No problem. There's no buildings or anything on this property.
I know you.
And so, I guess it can be pretty quick. I've watched Shoals Bend for a long time, and when we first moved out here, my wife wanted to own some property there so we could build a house. And I looked at the prices, and I said that ain't going to happen. And then a couple years ago, of course, as you know, everything's been going down. It became easy to buy a lot in Shoals Bend, 5 acres, for about a third of what they had been selling for. And I did purchase this lot for, I think it was $18,900. Unfortunately, in Shoals Bend, a couple of banks in there have taken a beating, and that's pretty much what's driving the market in there. But what we did, what I did is went ahead and, you know, I paid my money. I don't feel like I was cheated or anything like that. My lot was listed as a Lakeview lot. I can't find it. You know, in the winter, standing on the back of the truck, you know, I can't find it. You know, it's just not there to see. I'm not going to say that you couldn't go out there and scrounge it up somewhere, but it's really not a Lakeview lot. But I gave the 18.9 for it, and then I've been watching to see what's going on. And the real estate agent that I used to purchase this property called me the other day and said, man, if you'd wait a little while, you could have got one for 13. And so I thought, well, I better check into this. So what we did is had an appraisal done to see what this land's going for per acre, that kind of thing like that, and took it down through there. We tried to use... when I bought mine, it was a short sale, and we did use short sales in here, but we'd also use some that didn't have short sales in this, and not everything in this is actually from Shoals Bend. The first two there are not actually in the Shoals Bend area, and came up with a per acre price and everything, and when you multiply that out, it shows this to be worth right around $18,000. And everything. So I'm here to say I understand that this is market driven by short sales and closed sale or foreclosed sales, things like that. But I really and James did lower this whole Shoals Bend, all of Shoals Bend, because when I originally bought the property, it was appraised at 53, I believe it was, and I believe that he's equalized that out there, and it's around 32,000, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm just thinking that's a little high still for market value, and that's why I'm here.
32. She's on the book. Go back to Beacon.
Where did what?
18.
She appraised it at 18.
Yeah, first page bottom. Market value is defined as 32.
Yeah. I also pulled up all the active listings that are in Shoals Bend right now, and. They would show to be a per acre price of $3,467, which would make my 5.18 acres 17.9. I pulled up a flyer from the guy that's right behind me in there. His property is listed. It's not a short sale or anything. Listed for $20,000. He has 5.32 acres, which makes that about $3,760 an acre. If you apply that to my property, it makes it about $19,000. You know, if he gets what he's asking for. So in that market, I guess what I'm saying is it's a little high. And I just wanted to see if you could get that lowered down to what this appraisal shows. I also did pull closed sales, and they go back to 09. In 08, if you go pull closed sales, they're running up in the $50,000, $60,000 range. People were financing these lots out there. 100%, everything like that, but from 09 through, well, just 09 is what I have here. Lots ranging from 7.5 acres to 5 acres, almost flat. Mean price for sales was per acre $3,033, making my, you know, if you use those, and I know James has got criteria that he's got to go by, but it makes my lot worth, if you use those closed sales in Shoals Bend, about $15,715. Your 4 minutes is ticking.
No.
Hey, where's your lot located?
You know where phase one of Shoals Bend is? You go down Birmingham Road, it makes the turn, and turn to go all the way in, and there's one house out there that's on that main road. It's the lot next to that one. So it's right when the hill starts going down. Matter of fact, Mr. Strahan, there's pictures in there. Of this lot and everything. It is, you know, it's got a few trees on it. It's not tremendously wooded or anything like that. It is a sloping lot. It's not tremendously steep. If you fall down, you don't roll to the neighbor or anything like that. It has the road, and there is electricity out there. There's no water. You know, that water and the sewer was to be handled by the individual out there.
Well, I mean, with an appraisal, I mean, it's pretty hard not to argue against a current appraisal within a few days of the first of the year. So,
what are your thoughts, James?
We've seen these lots selling half, actually. They got the split in the lots and selling them from $16,000 to $27,500, and that's when we first went into cutting the values out there. Since then, they have started selling a few lots, picking them off here and there for $18,000 to $22,500.
There were two sales, if I'm not mistaken, where they had split a lot, like you said, and cut them down to like two, a little over 2 acres, and they did sell higher as that. I don't know, you know, the place out there is a little bit dysfunctional, as you know, and so I don't know if you can even split property out there anymore. I mean, I you know, it's in the city of Forsyth now. I don't know what the rules are or anything like that, but...
You paid $18,900.
I did pay $18,900, yes, sir, and it was a short sale.
Jim,
I'm going to move that we set the value based off this appraisal on BOE number 0219 at $18,000.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and second to establish the value of BOE number 0219 at $18,000 as per appraisal. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you for your time, gentlemen, and you're back on track.
Thank you, Eddie. I show next Starwood Homes.
Yes.
Yes, sir. That's how you're listed. Let me just a second. Please forgive my voice. My wife would say, oh.
Good morning.
You sneak in. And we are ready, sir.
Okay. Introduce myself. My name is Ken McHugh. I'm a home builder here in Branson. Just by way of background and introduction, I've been a home builder for well over 30 years, mostly up in the Northeast Missouri area. Moved to Branson here in 2006. Have owned two brokerage firms, have two national real estate designations. So the point of all that, my background is have been in the real estate development business for 30 some odd years and thought I had a pretty good idea of the market. So I moved here in 2006 and things changed the following year. So I'm not sure how smart I am on real estate anymore anywhere. But I'm here to ask you to reconsider the valuation on lot number 11 in Branson Creek, which I believe, yeah, you have in the Iron Ridge. You're using, your assessor's map, which is...
Mm-hmm. That's the property that shows it's Starwood Homes. Is that yours?
I don't know who Scott is. I bought it directly from Branson Creek, so...
Oh, Scott Township.
Sir?
I think it's, isn't that Scott Township? Is that what it is? Don't worry about the word Scott. It's the box. Scott is the township
in which
it resides.
That looks like it might be the one, yes.
Okay.
I purchased that just before the downturn in the market in 07, 2007, for $70,000. As a builder, I'd been invited to come into Branson Creek and do some spec building there, and I consider Branson Creek a very good development from a builder's standpoint. So I bought a couple of lots, have built a spec house in there and then still have this lot available. My approach has been to offer a lot for sale or, as a builder, offer the package with a design-build approach. I've had a sign on that lot for 3.5 years offering that for sale or as a design-build, and no calls in 3.5 years. The information I'm going to present to you today...
What's it for sale for?
$70,000, okay. Has been. Now it's open to offers.
Okay.
But I was actually, the sign was a design build, so the way I was going to make my money was building the house, not in the lot sale.
Okay.
So nothing's happened. I'm certain you're all familiar with the Branson Creek area and the changes that have taken place out there. I went to the sales office at Branson Creek on the 19th of June, talked with one of the salespeople there to get a idea of what is going on in Branson Creek. And this lot number 11 is in Iron Ridge, but the other comparable area that has been developed is Oak Knoll, which you're seeing there. Just want to start with that and point out a couple of things. McMillan Group, which took over Branson Creek about a year ago, has made some changes. They're focusing on a much lower price market, $200,000 to $300,000 homes versus what originally when I went in there was a $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 home market. But that's changed with the new ownership and the new direction. Oak Knoll, they have lots for sale there. The ones that are still, and I believe that is that the 2007 or 2000.
This is 07.
Yeah, okay, 2007. That was the price list back in 2007. If you go to the next page, lot number 54. If you could scroll down a little bit, please. That lot, and I've got an hysteric on it there, it's now at 34.5. That's a lot they've been advertising, trying to sell to get a feel for the market, and as of the 19th of June, they had not had any calls on that lot at half price in a year. If you could go to Iron Ridge now. Well, okay.
Is it back or forward?
Is that Iron Ridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And that is the original price list back when I purchased the lots in 07. As you can see, they had some $145,000 lots there backing up to the golf course. The average price was $75,000 to $80,000. And according to the sales, well, let's go to the next. Yeah, the 2011. They have, on the average, all of the lots that are left out there, which are the ones that are that have the new prices on it, that are owned by Branson Creek, they, on the average, dropped the price from 40% to 50%. The market has changed drastically out there. The other homes there that are marked sold are ones. People like myself that bought 3-4 years ago paid the going rate at that time. 90% of those lots are for sale again. Like myself, not getting any calls or any offers. I've talked to several of the lot owners out there. Theirs are for sale at whatever price they can get. There's only out of the 42 lots in the 4 years that Iron Ridge has been available, only three homes have been built. I built one of those, took a pretty big hit on that. So the point is, I don't know if we need to go through all of the lots or not, but there's about 40 to 50% reduction on what Branson Creek itself, as a developer, is offering their lots to the public now. I believe there's 22 lots left for sale in Iron Ridge by Branson Creek. The other lots are for sale by the previous buyers. I've talked to, that'll give you an idea of when I mentioned when the McMillan Group from California came in here and bought into Branson Creek or bought out, however they did it. They are production builders, and their prices there on their homes, as I said, they're marketing anywhere from $212,000 to $275,000 now. Totally different market. I mean, those homes are about half of what was originally built out there. The last home in Iron Ridge that sold a year ago. According to the salesperson, there haven't been any calls on Iron Ridge in over a year. So market conditions have certainly changed. Had assessed this at $70,000 in 07, wouldn't have had a problem. Now I feel, based on my research, on what Branson Creek is telling me, what they're offering their lots for, the whole market conditions there and elsewhere in the area, that the value should be around $35,000. If I got an offer on the lot today for $35,000, I would seriously consider taking that. I think that's how much things have dropped out there in the Branson Creek area, at least. Probably a lot of other lots around town, because a lot of the realtors that I've talked to say that we have, in normal times, a 10 to 15 year supply of vacant lots, buildable lots that are already platted and developed in the Taney and Stone County area. So that's a normal time. So my presentation here is to show what I've concluded the market is, to tell you what the conditions are, market-wise, there in Branson Creek at least, based on what I'm told from their salespeople, and to ask for a $35,000, which would be, I mean, market value. $35,000 market value, which translates to about back to where we were before this reassessment, which is just about a doubling. So, am I making myself clear on what I'm asking for here?
Yes.
All right. Any questions on anything?
Did I see on the map there that it's on the, is it on the golf club type, is that something they're going to do, or is that something that they just put in on the roadway?
That's been done. Actually, the golf course is on the other side of the street. My lot backs up to the airport road that goes to the airport, so I'm not on the golf course.
Right.
I'm across.
The reason I ask that is because didn't we set some lots in this area?
Yeah, I think if you...
And then we set
zoom out just a little bit. You can just see him right down there on the left-hand corner. It's actually down by the lake. Up a little bit. Right on the
corner. Yeah. By Fazio.
You see those two
right there. Okay.
to the left.
To the left of that, there.
Those two lots right there.
Click on one of those, please.
That's what we set before.
Right.
Go above it now.
And those are right on the...
Those are down on the golf course.
Those are on two different holes.
Yes, they are.
And what said golf club was the name of the road that...
Right, had. But what I'm going at, Ron, is we set lots up there. I thought we set lots on the golf course. Did we do this one like we did the other golf course?
No,
you not didn't. Yet.
Not yet, but we have discussed that.
Down okay. On the course.
That's 75-2 on the golf course is the reason you denied him. I do have a sale there January 1, 2011 for $50,000. That was on parcel 8. Parcel 14, and now I'm using our numbers, sold late in 2010 for $55,000. I've got a sale in 09. And I don't know why, way back in 09, this one sold for $25,000. But these other two are more current than that. One was at $55,000.
If you've got it, I'm sure it's true. I'm going by what the salesperson out there told me. So
these will be signed for affidavits by the seller.
Of course, which ours at this value.
Right.
That we've got.
So we have to find the board.
I'd have to look at those lots. I know
for sure.
Golf course. Lots that back up to golf courses are always worth more than those that aren't that don't back up to golf courses.
Gentlemen, are we going to look at setting a price on this area? We'll probably have some more before this is over with. Are we going to wait and have a discussion on that and set it? Or
James, as a question, James, you said you got a comp close to the area for 50.
I've got a 50 and a 55.
Okay.
They're on that same level.
Which lots are those?
9011. There, she's got one up there. Is yours? I've got one on 908, which back up the hill there.
Go right or left by two,
three. You mean
there. That's 908. It's sold for $50,000 January 1, 2011. If you go the other direction, go to 14.
Yeah, a little more. Down one more maybe. There.
It's that star-shaped one.
One before it.
Yeah, right there.
Right there. Sold for $55,000
okay.
In late 2010, around the 1st of September.
Huh. Okay.
I'm going to move that we set this valuation at $50,000 based off comparable sales. I appreciate you wanting 35, but I think 50 is closer to the market with it.
And then the reason we went on to the 75-2, we've got a sale of a house there on 909 for $545,000, and we're looking at setting your value at 9%. You guys are of land versus. That don't calculate out. Any study you show will be from 15 to as high as 30% land to structured value. And then we've got another house on around the corner there that sold for $672,000. So the $75,000, when you take the ratio of land per structure, was way low in our eyes, but you take the sales, as Jim's referring to, and they don't coincide. They do with the new values you're talking about, but we don't have none of those sales yet of the trying to get those houses.
There's not even being built.
In the $200,000 line, and yes, the numbers are working out better.
There is a motion. Is there a second to the motion?
What was the price on the motion?
$50,000.
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and seconded to lower BOE number 0236 to $50,000. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. You'll receive notification of that in just the next few days.
Okay.
In writing. And there'll also be instructions should you want to take that to the State Tax Commission, you can do that as well.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Is the next in person? Or is
the
it
next a. Is Thompson Reuters. He did a phone call.
The one I show says Festiva Resorts.
Yes, this is the agent.
Oh.
They're representing multiple properties. And we should try to look at those numbers.
No, wait a minute. This is, okay.
This is your tenant law.
That has about 20 pages.
How much time do we allow?
30 minutes. That's what they said they wanted.
Okay.
Who is it? Thompson Reuters? That's the name?
Please enter your account code.
Say again.
Alan. Roscoe, Thompson Reuters.
Yes, is this Alan?
You know what? This is Dan Roscoe. I'm going to be handling the hearing today, actually.
This is Ron Houseman with the Taney County Board of Equalization. I have you on a speakerphone so all the members of the Board of Equalization can hear you, including the county assessor. And we have a number of properties that you're representing today?
That's correct.
Would you give me your name again?
Sure. Dan Roscoe, R-O-S-C-O-E.
Okay. And Dan, we're ready. We have all of your properties in front of us on computer and on the screen.
Okay. Is there a specific one you want to start off with?
Well, you have a half hour, and yet you have 20 pages, so I'm hopeful that you can
group them.
Group these together in a way that we can consider all of them, because we're not...
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no way we're going to individually be able to talk about... I haven't taken the time this morning to count all of them, but please forgive my voice.
Oh, you're okay.
I've been talking too much.
Okay.
So my wife says it.
Yeah, essentially, I'll just go ahead and start off. There's two that are owned by Diamond Resorts International. And those are going to be, one of which is the suites at Fall Creek. That's at 1A Fall Creek Drive in Branson, Missouri. Okay. The other one's going to be the suites at Fall Creek, essentially two. And that's also located at 1A Fall Creek Drive in Branson. There's a separate, they have different parcels.
I show four.
Essentially, five. We had sent in a letter from the client. I don't know if you have that pulled up.
Hey, Dan, if you could wait just a moment. I'm finding four separate
I show five.
Appeals for Diamond Resorts. Five?
Okay.
Six.
One, two, three.
Actually, more than that.
Six, I think.
Diamond Resorts.
One, two. The Diamond Resorts?
Okay. Gotcha. So it's just six separate parcels then.
All right.
We're dealing with the suites at Fall Creek.
So we're going to start with that then?
That's what they are.
All right.
Yeah, we can start with those. And essentially, like you were saying earlier, we don't have to go through each parcel or anything like that. There was one general, I guess, argument for lack of a better term. We had received an increase in both our tax rate and also assessment ratio via the recent new rule established by Taney County, essentially assessing properties as commercial if they are available for transient rental over 50% of the year. And it says... and then in the second notice you guys had sent, it says, please complete and return this form if you wish, if you wish to avoid having a hearing, which we did send it in, but unfortunately we weren't able to settle it in time, I don't think. But we did send in a letter stating that only 17% of the time throughout the year were these rooms available on a transient nightly basis. So we're requesting that these properties be assessed as residential as they were in the prior years.
my recommendation to this board is to set these at a 45-55 split, as you have done many times here since this board has convened. The values of these timeshares have never been argued all the way to the Supreme Court. We've had one case that went and said they should be 100% commercial under the transient housing laws, but we have tried to work around that. We have stipulated at different values, but I would, like I say, make a recommendation to this board, which you've made decisions in the past on many condominiums, and taking this under the same view as setting it at 45-55 with an accompanying letter coming from the taxpayer stating that these are available less than 50% of the time.
Mr. Roscoe, will you be able to furnish to the county assessor a letter stating that these properties are available to the public less than 50% of the year?
Yes, we actually did submit that already. It was from a Mr. James E. Strahan.
Right, that was he that was just talking. Go ahead.
I don't know if he received it. It was sent on March 3rd, it appears. But I can gladly resend that, you know, today or fax it, whatever you guys would prefer.
Let me give you his fax number.
Okay.
Which is 417-546-6840.
And just to confirm, when you say a 45-55 split, is that 45 commercial or 45 residential?
45 commercial, 55 residential.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And I'll gladly fax that letter over shortly after these hearings.
Before we move forward with other properties, do I have a motion to do that as per assessor's recommendation?
So moved.
Clear on what properties we're doing this on.
It's the ones that are listed as Diamond Resorts, and she has a list.
All the suites at Fall Creek.
Suites at Fall Creek.
I'll second the motion, just so it's in second.
So motion has been made and seconded to establish valuation procedure of 45-55, with 45 being commercial, 55 being residential, on all the Fall Creek suites as presented by Mr. Roscoe today. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed nay. Let's move on, sir.
Good deal. Okay, and the others we had are going to be owned by Blue Green Corporation. There is one we wanted to, I believe, withdraw for the client. We thought the assessment was fair and no farther appeal was warranted. That was going to be Wilderness Club at Long Creek Ranch, 912.
Okay.
Let's see here. I believe...
Is this one of those?
That's currently assessed as residential, is that correct? Do you have that information?
Give us just a second to find that one.
Okay, sure, no problem.
She's pulling it up. Do you have the property number there, sir?
Yes, I do. The main parcel on that one is going to be 19-50-15-004-002-001.
Motion for denial, and that's what we have to do, sir, to make it go through the process. We deny what you have sent in on appeal for, and that's, isn't that right, sir?
Yeah, he's withdrawing it, so there would be no action taken. That would be proper.
And that's assuming that, I believe that's assessed as residential, and the whole purpose of us appealing these properties were that some that were assessed as residential are now assessed as commercial, and I just wanted to confirm that's still assessed as residential, and that might have something to do with the fact that I think that they have little to no rooms available on a nightly basis. I don't know if that's why, but...
I'm looking at all those properties, and they're all assessed as residential. Are they not, girls?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so all of the blue-greens are?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so that's going to include the Falls Village.
Well, wait just a moment.
Okay.
That the property that you mentioned was the Blue Green Corporation and the Wilderness Club.
Yes.
At Long Creek Ranch.
Yes.
Those properties are on at residential.
Okay. Yeah, we would then, and that if that is the case, which obviously I'll take your word on it, then we'll withdraw that appeal.
We're going to take care of the denial first on the other one.
That's the one we're talking about.
Give me 1 second to check the others.
Sure, take your time. Sorry if I'm moving too fast.
I would ask, you haven't got your second yet.
So are we denying that?
Well, I've just been the one property to get the number on.
We're waiting to see if there are several that fall in that category. That's the only one you're withdrawing, is it, sir?
Yes, that is correct.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny the request.
I'd like to comment on that.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
First, I'd have to ask the question, is it the same as the other properties, and has the assessor made the mistake by not having it split 45-55 residential to commercial? Is these units in this establishment available for nightly? That's my question.
Would you click back on that for me, girls? Wilderness Club.
It may be my misunderstanding, but I thought he said no on that one. That's one particular property.
So they're all duplexes.
Are you on the? Can you hear me on the mic?
Over here, yes, I can hear you.
Do you know if these are available for nightly rentals?
No, I don't know off the top of my head. I've never personally visited the site. I can definitely inquire on that. But I don't have their actual financial information in front of me because I requested the financial information for the ones that we were gonna move forward on, and I know that we weren't gonna move forward on this one, so I didn't request the financial information.
Well, being duplexes and all in the one owner's name, it's not sold out to individuals. I would assume, and maybe I should not assume, but I would assume that they're the same nightly rental program as all the other properties owned by this group.
I'd have to double check on that. I don't want to say something that's not true.
Well, hold it. You got me confused. Then I thought you just stated that it was little to none. When I made my motion to deny, you said
right. These
were little to none available for nightly rental.
Right. I was saying I didn't know if that's why it had been assessed as residential, if it was little to none. So I would have to confirm if that falls in the same category as the others that we're going to be reviewing. That I don't know off the top of my head.
The letter would be required on this one, just like it would be on the others, I would assume. I'm going to withdraw my motion until we have we got a second already?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't do it then. Just go ahead and discuss it because
we deny his appeal doesn't mean that the assessor can't come back if he's going to look at that complete area.
Yes, it does mean that.
It does on that piece of property.
On that piece of property, I can't come across the top of your motion.
Would you like to withdraw your motion?
I would.
You'll withdraw your second?
Yes.
We'll come back to that property, sir. Would you like to move to the others? We're making a note about that.
Okay, so can I just, I guess, clarify on that one? Is that one going to be assessed as is, or are we just...
We don't have a motion on it. We're going to make that motion at a later time.
Okay. Okay. And essentially, we can move on to Falls Village. And this is going to be, I can give you the main parcel on that one as well. Or I can give you just one of them. It's going to be 18-10-11-001-005-014.
I've got a 1401.
Let's see here.
who's the homer, the owner's?
That's on the Blue Green, 1014, did you say?
Blue Green Resorts.
Right.
This is the Falls?
Blue Green.
That's the last one on page six.
Good gosh.
Starts out with BOE number ending 60288.
60288, okay.
98.
No, that's a different one, Dan.
What's a different one?
Yeah.
I don't have that one.
I don't have that one. Say that again, Christy.
2011-060-288.
288.
Falls
Village. Well, that's not what's on our copy. Our copy says that's Blue Green Resorts Incorporated.
That's what it says from
there. Right. That's the sub. The company is Blue Green. Subcompany is Blue Green. Site is Falls Village-909.
But the number that was quoted to us is nowhere close to this number.
I put in the number that Chris gave me. I didn't catch it when he read it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he needs to look at our property parcel number then?
Now, is all these the same argument? Aren't they the same argument?
Yes, that is correct. These next two I have the financial information for. This one's specifically was available for rental on a nightly basis 27% of the year. The next one, which is going to be Big Cedar Wilderness, was available for 16% of the year. So essentially, like you just said, we'll have the same argument on these two that they were available for well under 50% of the year.
I would make a
basis.
Yeah, I'd make a recommendation to this board to set those values at 45% commercial and 55% residential.
Dan, are all the discussions you're going to have on are the parcels of property going to be the from commercial to a residential commercial split? Can you do us a favor, which will save you a great deal of time and us a great deal of time, and that's prepare a document so stating and listing what each one of those articles are and faxing it to the assessor?
Yes, I can do that. Do you want that on a property basis, or do you want it to have it listed, each property, and then list the parcels, and then just have a letter from the client, signed and notarized or something along those lines?
Everyone will be looking at any number below 50% as being a 45-55 split. So if you just sent a general letter referring to your numbers, I believe that's what this board would be wanting. Wouldn't it be,
okay.
Ron?
Yes.
Okay. I can do that.
In other words, that will save us a great deal of time rather than jumping from building to building. Offer us one argument, list what the parcel numbers are, and then we'll get back to you if that's acceptable.
I can do that.
And then we've got one here with just a split off of land. Do you know what Sorry. That's about?
Let's see.
That's the one we're actually referring to, right?
Yeah, that
now.
One. Right there. What is that about?
I know they had many splits out there and caused lots. It was really difficult to keep up with it.
Well, the one for, I don't have it right in front of me, it must be over here, but the one for land, did that also get assessed as commercial when it was residential?
No, it says residential now.
Let me give you the parcel number.
Okay.
It's 18-10111-001-005-012-000. That is on for residential land only.
Okay. Yeah, I mean we'll be withdrawing that one then.
Okay. So you get that.
Hold it just a minute.
Chris is making a note of that.
Let's find the BOE number, the corresponding BOE number.
What's the BOE number on that one?
288.
All right, that's at the bottom of page 4. Could I have a motion to deny?
Motion to deny 0288, BOE number.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny BOE parcel number 0288. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Sir, that has the same effect as withdrawing it, so that's just for our records. Do you have any other parcel, any other parcels that are not the 45-55 split?
I think, like you said, we'll just send in the letter from the client stating that they're under 50%, available under 50% on a nightly basis in 2010.
Again, you can send one letter representing those clients.
Okay.
And send that in care of James Strahan at the fax number I believe we gave to you, did we not?
I would rather you send that to the BOE since it's under a hearing process.
I would just have him pick it up.
Mr. Chairman, we do have the Residence Inn in Branson.
She has identified another property that you have presented called the Residence Inn in Branson.
Okay. Let me grab that real quick.
Can you give me the BOE number here, Christy?
602.
Okay, before we go there, we found another property that is land only, and it's residential. Do you want that withdrawn also?
Yeah, any of the land onlys that are assessed as residential, we can withdraw.
We'll ferret through those. My suggestion is, everybody, for the ones that he wants to pick out individually that are different, let's do them. We'll withdraw all those that are not 45-55 based upon the split. I mean, based upon the letter that comes to the BOE through the assessor's office. Let me give you that number again, James.
417-546-6840.
417-546-6840. Attention to BOE, Board of Equalization.
Attention, BOE, yes.
Let me also tell you that that's time sensitive. We need that as soon as possible.
I can get that to you probably within 20 minutes after we get off the phone here.
Perfect.
So we were going to go to the Residence Inn. Did you have the parcel number on that one? I'm sorry.
It's 18-1.0-01-004-001-001-30. It's called BRV Realty LP.
Okay. Give me 1 second on that. Let me look that up.
I think that will be a motel that they've purchased and turned into a timeshare.
The Brinson's Inn? Over on Wildwood?
Yeah.
It's a timeshare now?
That's parcel 11, I think.
That's not Branson Inn.
That's Branson Place. That's not Residence Inn.
Well, I'm pulling up.
Okay. It's Residence Inn. Go ahead and scroll down now. There you go. Okay. We have the property.
I don't know what the hell I said on.
Sir, we're showing this as a motel hotel sitting on 2.18 acres, assessed commercially at a little over $4.9 million.
We would, Kenny has come and informed me, and I would like for the board to consider moving this back.
Sorry about that. My computer froze up.
Hold on just a minute, Mr. Roscoe. Go ahead, James.
This is a Mike Myers appraisal by the STC, and we would ask that you roll that back to the assessor's value instead of the state tax. It falls right along with the others.
Meyer Hotel kind of thing?
Yeah, the Meyer Hotel, the Combs Hotel.
What was that? Do you remember what that valuation? I've got that in my BOE. Do you have it, James, in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me. I apologize for that.
We look real fast here.
1,137,870. Can you back figure what the appraisal is on that appraised value?
Just 1,137,870.
3,555,843.
Motion. Hold on just a minute. Mr. Roscoe?
Yes, sir.
The assessor is recommending moving this valuation from the little over 4.9 million back to 3,555,843. The increase came from action of state tax commission, and the assessor's rolling it back to the assessor's value.
Okay, I can. I don't see a problem with that at all. I will just have to relay that information to the client, but I definitely don't think that's going to be an issue at all.
I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to lower the value of BOE number 0281 to $3,555,843 as per assessor's recommendation. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Other parcels, girls, that you can identify?
That's it.
That's all we got.
We will make decisions based upon your properties and make those motions when we receive them, sir.
Sounds good, and I will get that letter to you guys, like I said, within probably half hour or so.
James?
And I wanted to state one thing. You will be receiving an increase notice on the one property, which would the foreman here should inform you would have the right to go into the state with. On the first property we looked at, the duplexes, mm-hmm. It's all residential. When I split that residential commercial, there will be an increase generated on that one property.
Okay. So that motion didn't get seconded or anything? I mean.
That's right.
Well, what the assessor's going to do is go back and take a look at those properties that are in the Wilderness Club at Long Creek Ranch.
Okay.
And in so doing, he will probably put them on, James, as
45% commercial.
45-55 instead of the residential valuation that you have. When he does that, you'll receive an increased notice of which you will have the ability to appeal.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
We thank you very much for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
On the books for. Can you go to Beacon?
Give me just a second.
313, he's asking 250.
Scroll down here.
I would ask that the board go back to the decisions you made on River Bend Place. You made two the first day.
Okay.
And consider that to Mr. Evans's request.
You remember what the motions were?
I don't remember
that. I don't either. Here, I can find it first.
Which property? Oh, River Bend.
Yeah, you made two decisions on River Bend back-to-back on the first or second day.
I remember.
I'm looking here. You remember who owned him? Was it Morris Combs?
It would be a night. Let me see here.
Penner?
It would be an 8828 number, Jim.
Okay, I'm looking here. 8828, okay.
Last number, 32, which would be a 103, 203 type number.
What the assessor has asked us to do is to go back and check because we've already made some decisions there. We're going to tell you what's already been done, and then we'll allow you to address that.
I understand.
Yeah, it's not the first day.
I just had, of course, my name is Richard Evans, and I had my wife and I purchased the condo in Building 1, which is the one you're referring to, I think. and in October the 1st, 2008. And since that time, there have been no other sales in the building, and there's a foreclosure on 1101 Riverstone Drive, which is two doors from us on the same level that has had an offer from the bank at sales price of $219 that have had no takers. And we feel, therefore, that based on that and then a look-alike, as far as the condos are concerned on the building across the lake at 1573 Lakeshore Drive, where they sold it, the highest sales was $169.9. And based on the condo on our level, it hasn't sold at $219. And then based on the sale of the other condo across the river at a little less than $170, that we feel that the valuation should be reduced from the 53, 59, mm-hmm. 510 to 47.5, or it equates to a
make that recommendation.
A value of 250.
I'll move to accept the assessor's recommendation to set it at
$250,000.
$250,000 appraised.
Was that what we did on the others? I want to be consistent.
Well, it's square footages, Dan.
I know that square footage is that consistent with what we did on the others.
Have we ever found those?
I buildings? Can't find them.
There's two of them that we looked at, sir.
I understand.
We already looked at.
Yeah.
We based those on square footage, and
I'm just using
my
comparison.
Different than we did then. 1 o'clock and 1:15.
I understand. They're on a different. They're on a different level. They're higher up in the building than we. Than I am. I'm on the lower level.
Yeah, that's what
okay,
I.
Okay, wasn't.
That's not it.
No, that's not it.
Kenny, can you go back and check the first day or two?
It's not the first day. I'm going on day four now.
Jim, do you want to make your motion compared to bone square footage? Because that's what we based those other two on.
Well, I'm assuming the assessors made that.
Right, because of the, and we got to consider the others were on upper floors and his is on a lower floor and all that stuff. I think we're fine with setting the value at $250,000. Because we've got the square footage.
Gentlemen, the assessor has made a recommendation to lower the valuation to $250,000. Is there a motion?
I add that motion.
You have the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it. I just want to be consistent.
We will. Let's just get the motion. For BOE parcel number 0195 is to lower the valuation to $250,000 as per assessor's recommendation. Now, discussion. And that's what we're looking for. Right?
I can't find it. I know. I remember the couples, and I just...
And I thought it was later than the first 2 days.
Yeah, I went the whole first week, and it wasn't there.
Oh, it was there in the first week.
It was the first week?
Yeah. I'll go look. Kenny's looking. I know he's coming through papers. I can hear him from.
Okay.
Set at 250.
I think I'd be more comfortable to wait to see what we did on those other two properties.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that was two.
That's not
the
that
250.
One.
I thought those other two were 270.
I've got that in my papers upstairs.
But they were on square footage.
If it was the
couples, one had a loft and the other one had.
If it was those two couples, they
yeah, you know, they come up the same.
They were higher.
It's Jim's motion.
Well, 275 is what they were, but one of them had a loft and the other one had some square footage difference.
Right.
Now we're trying to find the actual.
I can see the faces, but I can't remember it.
Well, I can't find the information, guys. My book's upstairs.
I'm there.
One at 1:45 and one at 2 p.m. One was set at 300,000. One was set at 330, but they were larger units.
Okay.
Yeah,
Severe D. Austin.
Yep.
And Clyde Cruz.
Clyde Cruz. And I am correct in saying you're down low and they were up?
The Cruz are on level four, a three-bedroom unit and
right,
loft.
Right.
And we're on a very lower level. I refer to my wife, and we live in the basement of the building. she doesn't like that.
Tell her lower level.
Lower level is what I should be for.
Patio unit, sometimes they use that one.
All I've got is what we did, but we can go back to that.
What do you need?
We can go in.
Square footage?
Well, that's what I was.
His square footage is 1714.
My square footage is, pretty given by the developers, is 1650.
Right, by, per the plat.
Yeah.
Right. And then their square footage, which it's not going to be what you're thinking because of the location of the condo on the upper floors versus the lower floor.
Right. Did you have their square footage?
No, I don't.
Oh.
We could look it up there on parcel number 32110. You had the right number. Yeah. I'm sorry. Parcel 08-8.0-28-000-000-032.110.
Here it is.
There you go. Just as zero there,
okay.
That goes out. There you go. See, it's the same size, but it's the location of it.
Got it.
And the sales I have to show you is one of those sold for $230 at the same size.
James, do you want to establish it there or where the motion is?
I want you to establish it there or when you make the recommendation.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Now, the ones on the third and
fourth floor,
they have lake view, right? Or can they see the lake?
Yes, there was a big discussion about the size of the lot. We discussed this. Remember, they had two bedrooms and one bath. And everything up there in the lot.
And right.
Big discussion about that when we went into that particular situation. So we evaluated those with a couple sitting here and came to that decision of those numbers.
Can you see the lake from your?
Pardon?
Can you see the lake from your unit?
We're behind building three, and we can see half of the lake. We can see the landing and down toward the edge of the other building where we are.
Gentlemen, there's a motion and a second on the floor. Is there more discussion regarding this parcel of property? All in favor of the motion? Go ahead, sir.
I'm all in favor for lowering it because of being on that lower floor. But being that we did set the one exactly the same size as it at $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if I could go 250 on that for being on the
If you look at my comparables, you have Reedman. You got a 230. Did I give you a copy of that, Jeff?
Yeah.
And the same square footage. Which justifies, I believe in my eyes, that justifies it. Did I put the parcel number on there, Jeff? What does it end with?
111.
See, that's right in the same building, same complex.
You can go to the right, just right there.
103 and 111 would be right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's 106. Go back the other one.
Yeah, go way at the other end.
Way at the other end. Yeah, there you go. That'd be 101. There's the
one. Oh, 111, I said. Not 101.
Oh, 111. I don't know where it'll be. Maybe down in the next complex.
Yeah.
Several more. One more.
One more. It'll be... It'd be in that complex there, being in the 100 number.
Okay. So is this going to affect all the other parcels in that same building then, if we lower this one?
I don't think there's any more sold in yours, is there?
Not any more, to my knowledge. There's a couple, I think, are for sale. I can't find any information on them, but there haven't been any others sold. Ours was the last sale nearly three years ago.
Well, my only question is that I thought I remembered we did the comparables on square footage because of the lofts, and that's what helped you establish the others.
You can establish them that way, but when you drop down to floor-level buildings...
I'm not talking about this unit. I'm talking about the square footage on the other units that we decided on, and I was wondering if there could be a square footage on this one versus the location also.
I don't believe it's based on square footage, or we wouldn't have come. It had been on sales comparison because we come up with 300,000 and 330, and there wouldn't have been two even numbers spit out right on the money. I don't believe. And one of them was just slightly different with the loft. That's why it's
35. I'm all right with it.
Gentlemen, I'm going to call for a vote, and if the vote fails, then we can establish another motion. The motion currently is to lower BOE parcel number 01-95 to $250,000. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed nay.
Aye.
Motion carries. One dissension for the record. Sir, you're going to receive notification of that in the mail in just the next few days.
Very good.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It. Thank you for your time.
No. Mr. Pennell.
Gentlemen.
Hello, sir.
Chuck Pennell. Here to appeal my assessment on at 440 Holstein in Taneyville. And I don't have my application before me, but when it is brought up, I can give you that amount.
Right there, Jeff. 298.
Okay. I guess my figures didn't work out quite the same. I'm real close. Came up at 298, 615. My request is a 9% reduction in value of the residence. Nothing, don't have any complaint on the agriculture. My new career is in real estate. I've listened this morning here for a bit, and I'm sure you all have heard over and over again that our housing industry is way down. I picked the 9% request in reduction. very conservatively. I believe that it could be much higher than that. I could be asking for a much higher reduction. My residence was built in 2008. In 2009, my assessment was very close to what it cost me to build my home, and I do have my all of the receipts for the construction of my home with me if you're interested in them. I don't have any complaint with the value that the assessor established in 2009. Again, it's very close to what it cost me to build it. I'll read you just a little bit here. I do believe that there's no question that the condition of the housing industry has lowered the fair market value of my property as well as all others in the county. If you need evidence or have a question of that being accurate, I would ask you to visit with any appraiser, banker, realtor, or any individual that has experience with the value of homes over the last 2 to 3 years. I think there's a ton of evidence out there that the market is down. I did have an experience just this last Saturday in visiting with a customer about listing their home, and they've owned it for 5-6 years. They are going to list it with me at 20% less than they feel like it was valued at 2 or 3 years ago. And I think we can find that all over the place. From sitting on this board for a few years, I've heard a question asked different times, not by myself, but from others, would you sell your property for what you're asking in value? And the question is yes. Built a much larger home. Kicked that around now for about a year. Actually, as soon as we got it, my wife found that it was bigger than what we really needed. So I would sell it at the decreased price that I'm asking the valuation to be set at. I guess in closing, I've got one question for the board, if I may, and that would be, not being in the loop as I used to be, I'm interested in how many increases this year in assessment we received. I know, 2 years ago we had like 15,000 of the 45,000 approximately. Do we know how many increases this year?
I think
the paper said 6,000.
It was right around 6,000 with the inclusion of new construction, new subdivisions. There was increases. There was a little bit of errors that had to be corrected, such as half prices on new constructions that had to be taken up to true value. So just to say how many increased, probably 2,000 based on sales.
Okay. Just curiosity, mostly there.
What did your house cost to build? Just get close. I don't care.
It's very close to what he has it.
328.
Praised at 328.
So the low three.
Yeah. Quite frankly, when I added those up, when I got the assessment, I didn't want to think about it anymore. But I remember telling my bride at that point that we don't have any argument because James was very, I was surprised, quite frankly, that his assessment was so close to what it cost me to build it. I think we built it at a reasonable rate. I don't think we built it real cheap or it wasn't extravagantly built either way. It was pretty average, I think, and he was very close.
9% from that drop is $29,000, putting the value of that home right at $300,000. The only thing I have to say about the appraisal of that home is we do have that on $3,500 worth of land, which is rural land values, and I think Mr. Pennell and this board would understand that it sits on, is it 5 acres? or more than that.
You have that James on 3,500 res, but you also have the remaining of the 5.5 or 5.6 acres agriculture at $850.
Right. So, I mean, if you were looking at fair market value on 5 acres out in rural, it would be anywhere from $2,000 to $2,500 an acre, I would assume. But that is something we've established as being part of the ag land with the increase of septic, or the consideration of septic, electric, and a driveway. And that's on every home in the rural district.
I'm not following you, James. May I ask, are you saying that your value is good, or is it too high or too low? Or?
I would say that it ought to be in a realtor's eyes and my eyes that that land could possibly, that 5 acres could possibly, the other remainder at $850 is what we call an agriculture value set down by the state of Missouri based on production value, not true residential value. So instead of the $10,000 or $12,000 that land could be valued at if it was appraised by an appraiser, we have it based on state standards of $4,300.
So I'm still not sure I follow you. Are you thinking it's assessed too high or too low?
I was taking your numbers. The 9% drop from the structure value is $29,533 from the $328,148.
Correct. I'm not talking. I'm not
but
talking.
We'd have to add, we would have to add the land values back in.
Correct. I'm only asking. My request is only to reduce the cost of the structure. I don't have any issue with the ag valuations or the residential lot valuation. I think you are
okay.
Consistent with. I've looked at a lot of properties, and I think you're consistent throughout the county. I know with my neighbors, I've looked at a lot of those. The value you have set on my land and my lot is consistent with the rest of them. I don't have any complaint at all on any of that, only on the structure itself.
This is where the total would go to in the asset.
I don't have a problem with reducing that to the $298,557.
On the improvements?
On the one improvement.
Not the barn?
Not the barn.
The residential?
Right.
That is my request.
Jeff?
Do you have a question, Jeff?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. I'll move that we set the improvements of the residence to $298,557 as per the assessor's recommendations.
I'll second.
Now, when you add back in the land and the agricultural, do you all come to a total of $317,775?
This is consistent with the numbers we've got on, you know, I think I reported to the newspapers 95% of the properties decreased in values throughout the county.
If I add the 19,218 and the 298,557, I get 317,775. Would one of you get that on your calculator?
I think the total would be 321.
Am I doing it wrong? 19,218. Plus 298,557.
318,175. 318. But you need to add in that land.
That's 3,500. So what's the total going to be?
I think no. He was talking to him, not you. He was talking to Ron.
If we set it at 298,615, right?
I said 557, sorry. I just took it off.
298,557.
321,275.
Yeah.
That's the total.
That's the figure I'd like to use if that's all right with you, gentlemen.
Okay, just give me that number again, James.
321,275.
That's the overall number?
Yes.
All right. I'll modify my motion to set value on this parcel for 321,275.
Second time. I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded to lower parcel number 0039 to $321,275 as per assessor's recommendation. Value, the subtracted value should come from the improvements.
Yep.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate your time.
See you.
Four parcels, is that right?
Okay.
You give me just a second. Okay. Are all of these parcels tied together?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
As an economic unit.
Don, I'm having trouble here. Did you say economic what?
An economic unit. It's all part of the resort.
Okay, I didn't know. Sometimes they
figure. No, we're talking about Wealth Theater and stuff. Back up.
Gentlemen, I do need to let you know that she did withdraw two of these yesterday.
Hold on just a second.
Try the Wealth Resort.
And which two were withdrawn?
COEs ending in 352 and 354.
Mr. Chair, can I make a motion to deny those before we get...
You can?
I'm going to make a motion to deny those so that those are out of the picture and that we don't forget them as we go down our process.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to deny BOE parcel number 0352 and 0354. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. And tell me your name again.
My name is Joy Stallings Gomez.
Okay. And you may begin.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for the time. I do not have a really fancy presentation. I brought over income statements, and this is the first time that WELC has appealed in quite a while. Quite honestly, this is the first year they actually showed some profit so that we could ask for consideration under the income approach. And within the packet that was submitted to you with the appeal, you'll see that the net operating income as of December 31, 2010, prior to fixed expenses, and when I say fixed expenses, that's insurance and taxes, is $434,000. And subtracting out the fixed charges, interest, and taxes, it is approximately $199,000 for the year. As I said, things are improving. This is the first year they've shown a profit. They're doing some other things to help bring some activity to the property. I used a 6.6 direct cap rate, and that's what prompted me to ask for the value, asking for the value to be reduced on the four parcels to $2,646,161. The majority of the reduction, obviously, is on parcel number 006000, the large parcel that the assessor has placed a value of $9,516,496.
And you're asking for that to go down to what?
The total for all four of the parcels I'm asking to be reduced to $2,646,000.
Let me go back because I show five parcels. Is there a reason for that?
Six oh three is withdrawn.
Okay.
You know what? Mr. Chairman, you're correct. I apologize. There's only three remaining parcels. I apologize.
But, okay, and the total valuation, is that how you lumped those together for the three was?
Yes, $2,646,161.
2646.
161.
161, and I apologize, but I can't get into the...
I'm having challenges too.
Evidence on the computer. All I can get is the parcel itself. So, thank you. I'll rely on you girls.
Keep on scrolling down. That's just a report.
One of the things that I used, one of the pages that I'm not seeing coming up either is the analysis on commercial, the motels and hotels within the Branson area. And for the 2010 report, they were showing that sold properties were ranging between $15,000 and $20,000 per room. If you apply that general idea to the Welk Resort, which has 120, or the Welk Hotel, which has 128 rooms, that gives you approximately, I'm sorry, I've lost my numbers, $2,500,000, somewhere around in there. I applied a $20,000 per room because it does have other amenities, and I think that it probably is at the higher end of the spectrum of what the values are showing. And they have maintained the property very well. So that was kind of my sanity test, if you will, for the income approach, was to use the $20,000 per room.
If I'm looking at your document right up here, I only see two properties that you're disagreeing the value. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The major property is...
The hotel.
The hotel, yes. And then the other one that I had actually reduced is one of the ones that we've asked to have withdrawn.
Okay, so we're talking about three properties.
Three properties total, yes.
But
sir.
I only see you're disputing the value on two properties. Am I missing something?
No. I apologize. I am accustomed to filing appeals in other states, and when you file on an economic unit, it doesn't matter whether you disagree with the value or not. You have to appeal on all of the parcels to show it as an economic unit.
Okay.
So I apologize if that was confusing. The one that's really in dispute is the hotel parcel, which has the majority of the improvements on it, and that's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
I'm a little confused now that you've made your argument about 15 to 20,000 a unit. Was those motels that sold had the restaurant and a huge theater involved in them when you come up with your unit price? Because I believe this parcel has a huge restaurant
and
a huge theater involved in it. But you've compared it and come up with a value based on a motel.
That's a valid. I did not actually break it down to a motel. That's a valid point, Mr. Strand.
So you didn't include in your pricing. You didn't include the theater or the restaurant.
I did in my income approach because that's all of the income that's generated.
Okay.
I would have trouble with a recommendation on this one because of we all know theater and restaurant size with the inclusion of the restaurant is about like a property that sold in Branson for 5.4 at the bottom of the spectrum and had bank owned, bank sold, and it just happened two weeks ago.
Because your theater's 2,100 seats, is it like 2,100, 2,200, something like that?
I believe, yes.
That's what I thought.
Somewhere around in there.
To come up
James,
with
help me with, as I look at this and I look at what all's involved, how does just the assessment on the hotel area compare with other hotels?
Well, that would be within about the $20,000 unit range. Per unit. How many units did you say they had?
128.
Yeah, 128 times 20,000 is similar to Lux. And we classify our hotels as, you know, we've got about four. I would call this a luxury hotel.
James, what do you think the restaurant itself would I mean, this is a very unique property, so bear with me.
Yes, sir. It is.
Ms. Joy.
We just got the restaurant attributed to $313,000. So if you went out...
you think that's pretty close, probably?
I think if you went out and compared the square footages to other restaurants in the area, that you're going to find that we may be slightly low on a 7,000
right.
square foot restaurant. And I do know, and I don't know why the numbers are down for Welk Resort, but I do know that there's people goes to Welk Resort just to eat. They come to eat their food. They don't come to see the show and do. I mean, it's more of a restaurant setting in the restaurant area.
The numbers actually bear that out because the it's the theater that's generating the most income.
Right, I've been out and seen, of course, the Beach Boys, more my age group.
There you go.
What kind of income expense have you showed on the restaurant? Or is it involved in the as a whole?
No, sir, they do break it out. The restaurant annual earnings is $647,000 for the year, and the operating expenses is $540,000.
James, when you're done calculating, I want to throw something out at you. Just
well, you got $100,000, and we've seen that. Times three is basics on that, so right. We're looking at $300,000
on the restaurant
for $313,000.
I don't believe that's unreasonable.
Here, let me throw a number. Let me just tell you where I'm thinking. I'm not saying this is a motion, but let me just throw something out at you, okay, James?
Yeah.
If we use the Grand Palace as a sales point, which was $5.6 million for 4,000 seats, basically this auditorium would sell for. What, 2.8 to 3.0. And then you add the hotel part on it and the restaurant part, I get close to almost $6 million. Now, that's where I'm starting from. I no offense, I don't get you your 2.6. I mean, the closest I got is closer to 6. Right. And that's being real conservative. Real aggressive.
Yeah, because your number, Jim, is based on an operational and distressed sale versus a
correct
a property up and running.
Right.
So it'd have to be slightly more than that.
I mean, that's where I'm wondering how we're going to get there.
Yeah, I can't. But you're the board.
I used a strictly direct cap rate on the right. net operating income and did not, I don't believe that you're, and I did not have the benefit of the cost breakdowns on the individual buildings.
I see.
So I apologized for that. I do not believe that the $300,000 is unreasonable that you have on the restaurant.
Well, we just use the cost of buildings and go in and get the square footage, which would be same compared to the Jack and Tommy's of the area and the other restaurants of the area.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to look at something else here.
Can we go back to that page that you had listed all the... right there. Just so we're clear... Let's see, I think the other two BOD numbers ending in 355 and 356 is those last two at 134, and you've got them.
We've got three of those identical, don't we? Her value and my value.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And all you've got's difference is the...
It's the restaurant or the parcel that has...
Which is the third one we should have denied is what I'm looking for here.
She withdrew that one that there was a discrepancy on.
Okay, okay. Well, the motion was on 352 and 354. Which is the...
I think...
This 006.
The last two, 354. Well, our numbers, 355 and 356, is those last two that the assessed value is 134 and 24.
Yes, sir.
Now, do you have any... You've got it as your opinion is the same. Is that,
yeah,
is that all right?
That's correct. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
So I think we can deny those two.
We're down to one, aren't we?
Right. Yes, sir. We are.
Well, I'm showing theaters that are close to that, to this theater on the books for anywhere from 2.7 to a little higher. But...
So you're thinking the theater...
I'm thinking the theater is close to... Yeah, of course, this is... 2.8 to 3.0 is what I'm thinking theater's worth.
When you take 15,000 room...
I put 20,000 room.
To 20.
20,000 room because it's of luxury.
Well, at 15, it comes to 1.9. So basically 2, so you're 4.8. And then start adding in restaurant.
I mean, I'm real close to 6. I'm real close to 6.1 right now. Now, and make sure you understand, you can, whatever we decide, we can deny it and you can go to state tax commission and get it figured out, and we may give you a number and you still go, which is fine.
Understood.
It's a complex property.
Exactly. Are you talking about 6.1 for the improvement value only and then you add back the land? Are you talking 6.1 for the total value?
Okay, go back to where you were. You have 9.516.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying 6.1 and then... However he slices and dices is what I'm thinking, but
I believe that the taxpayer would be very grateful for that kind of an adjustment.
That's closer to, but guys, I need feedback. I mean, that's
just, well, it's not a decision I can give you right now until we spend some time going through that and looking at this property, as well as the one that we put off was the first or second property this morning, the other hotel. If that's...
Yeah.
Because I'd sure like to have some... Yeah. Let me clarify for the record. We had a motion that accepted the two that she asked to be withdrawn, which was 0352 and 0354. Are you all suggesting we should do the same thing with 355 and 356?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we go ahead and make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny parcel number 0355 and 0356. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The property that is left is 0353, which is the obviously the large one that's at dispute. If you'll give us some time, we will get back with you on this particular parcel. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time talking
today.
Okay. And... if that's all right with the board, I mean,
I don't think I've got enough. I'd rather have a discussion with you guys.
We will do that hopefully today before we're finished, and then we will get a hold of you with that.
I appreciate it.
We'll also, as well as a call, we'll notify you in writing, but we need to discuss this more, and we appreciate your being here and providing this information to us.
No problem. I appreciate the time very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
How much land is up? We can go back, hit back. How much land is in this property?
There's over 20.
24, right?
I have.
That makes a difference, too.
Hold on just a minute, please. So that's, did you say 23, 24 acres?
24 acres.
think that's considerably more than the...
Five is about the app, what we're seeing with hotels.
Right, and, or the sale Maybe. That you keep referring to.
Right.
Or I keep referring to.
There's a factor in here, so...
And this is?
This is Tim Mahoney with Grayson.
Tim, hi.
Hi.
Hey, Tim.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. It's the first time I've ever filed an appeal, so I'm not too sure of the protocol here. I do have copies of what I'd like to talk about that I can distribute, physical copy.
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay. If it's all right, as far as I'm concerned, most, with the exception of two lot, all of these appeals that were sent refer to residential lots in two subdivisions, and there was one that was withdrawn yesterday that I spoke to the clerk about, one of the appeals, because it was a misunderstanding in terms of the ownership, that we had actually sold the property that was withdrawn yesterday. But the balance of the lots that I'd like to talk about are in two subdivisions, and if it's agreeable to you, what I can do is present the information that I think supports the valuation of the lots, and then if you want to treat these, we don't really see, they're all assessed at the same value. And as far as we're concerned, if you don't buy the argument on one, it really isn't going to. So rather than take up the time on individual ones, I can give you the general overview that I'm looking to talk about, and then you can make your decision if that works.
I can make it a lot easier.
Well, hold on.
I can make it a lot easier.
Okay.
I like a lot easier over here.
Yeah. I'll make the recommendation we set the values at this, the stipulated numbers that he sent in here. They're right on the money. You made a decision earlier to say we're right on the money.
To what? What's the number?
From the 75 twos to he put 50s and 60s and I'm all for it.
There's only two, if I could throw out, that are in here that fall outside of the... What you're talking about, Jim. One of them is a platted residential lot, which is parcel number. It applies to everything except those two, and I just would like to tell the station if that's okay. One parcel is 17-8-0-20.
A little slower, so she can type it in here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. 17-8-0-20-8-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-1.020. It's, and the description on it, it's the second last sheet of the package that I gave you.
You may have too many. Hold on just a second. You put three zeros in twice.
Want me to repeat it?
Okay.
It's the second last page of this total package of documents that I gave you, the very last two pages of the whole
package.
That made
it easier, too. Okay.
At any rate, the issue is this refers to a lot, one residential lot in Fieldstone Bluffs that's appraised at 75 or assessed at 75,200. And this is actually dedicated. It was originally platted as a residential lot, but it's been dedicated as green space within our development. And when we sold the house that's contiguous, we actually put a deed restriction that that lot could never be built on. And it is it's referred to as Fieldstone Bluffs Phase 1 Lot 6.
Can you give me a map view of that, please?
And zoom out a little bit here. Where are we talking then, Tim? Behind that?
Let's just see. I mean, it's as you're going out this.
Okay. Branson Creek Boulevard there.
Yeah, that's, if you come up here, there you go. Keep on going. Keep on going.
No, no, just keep on going down.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, now, where this is, I believe, the city turning to go up here to this. It's, I believe that the lot is right in, it's right below here.
Go ahead and snap on that one. Let's see what.
Click on it and see what the number is that comes up.
There's a. No, I'm sorry. Keep going up.
Yeah, it's that long, narrow lot.
This is phase one. This is phase one. There you go. This lot, that's it right there.
Okay. Yes. Click on that, please.
That's actually green space, and it's a park, and the house that was built, or this one here.
Hit report, please.
And this one. This was built.
Okay.
And this whole lot here is dedicated as.
So that one has zero value anyway. Okay, go back out.
No, no, go back and show him what was just there. Can you do that? Is that what you meant, Jim? The zero value? Is that what?
Yeah, I wanted to see. I wanted to see that parcel. We just has zero value on that parcel.
No, that's the one down below, I think.
Okay.
So if you just go to the one that's contiguous to that one, okay. Right behind the house.
Right, that one.
I just move up so I make sure I know where the house is. There you go. Right, this piece right there says Scott.
Yep.
This is all green space.
Let's see what that looks like. Click on that. And then report. Is that the right parcel number? 101.001?
Nope.
No.
1020.
Where's. This is definitely the piece I'm talking about. That's the green space piece. I just don't know. Maybe I got the number.
Okay,
wrong.
Type in that parcel number, please.
Yeah, it's out by the main road.
Okay, so the parcel number is wrong. So let's go back to the map and find them on the map here.
Okay.
Take that. Get it.
Oh, is that what's showing on the map for the one we just put in?
Uh-huh.
That's green space, too. That's actually a park. That is
a park?
That's a park. There's a picnic bench right there. There's a little walking trail that comes down from this lot. This is lot 7, I believe, or lot 8.
Okay.
And this is dedicated as a park, and the one at the other end of the street is dedicated as a park.
Could you click on that again, please?
Click on that report there, yeah. So we have it on persistent. Okay.
But when we originally plotted the subdivision, we did plot those as lots. And then once we started to figure out how the houses would sit, we took them out for.
Did you file something at the recorder's office on it? Or
no,
is it
but when we sold the houses, like for example, not the one that we were just looking at, but the one I was pointing to down at the corner, mm-hmm. When we sold that house, we actually put. In the sale document to the people we sold to, that lot is dedicated as green space and never be developed.
So I'm still going to go with his recommendation. He's got a $20,000 value on it. He's the one that did it.
I mean, I did that because we're not saying it has no value.
Right.
But I mean, what I'm telling you is these are not residential lots. We put the services in, and then in order to try to maintain the integrity of the neighborhood and not get them too dense, we eliminated them.
So it can never be changed according to your plat?
No, they can't be, and they'll never
and
be
developed. And we value green spaces. That's the reason I'm saying this. We
but
do grab
that's it. A little high, isn't it?
I mean.
He's the one who said it.
I know what he's saying. That's a little higher than even the green space we value it at.
I mean, it'll never be developed. We've.
What was that those last year at the when we had
minimum.
Green spaces at the minimum?
But now you want to remember when you do that, the minimums that you set green spaces was long and narrow. This is a actually spectacular lot that's just been turned to green space.
I wouldn't say it was a spectacular lot. I mean, and I don't mean that because we're talking about the assessment. I think it's right at the entry where you come in, and I think part of the decision is, you know, you're going to ruin everybody else's view in there, and you're going to have one that's right at the main entry off the boulevard, so why don't we make it green space? And at the other end, you end up basically taking three houses and blocking their view for what's not a great lot to begin with. So,
$10,000 on the green space?
Five or $10,000.
Five? I mean, I was thinking five or ten, but
it can't be sold.
I found that parcel. Where's the other parcel? Go to the very bottom again here.
Is it just that one higher than the other one?
That's one. There's that one, and then there's
that one.
Jim, I'd recommend 10 on the one down at the, point your finger up there, but that one, that five on that one and 10 on the other.
Okay, let me write that parcel number down.
The reason I say that is because you've got three lots that are benefiting off the view of the green space.
I'm just writing down the parcel. I can't find that parcel ID in here. Christy, can you find that parcel?
What do you got to think? I'm going to make that into a motion, and that way we can discuss it. Both parcels, five at the top, or 10 at the one that's closest to the intersection at the top there.
Okay, which is parcel, which is ending in parcel 020.
And five for the bottom one.
Which is parcel ending in 001, and I'll second the motion. But I got to make sure, do you have those parcels, Christy, and all? Okay, you're going to get the other one then?
Reason I do that, Tim, is because your other three lots benefit greatly from that being an open space.
True.
I still don't see what the parcel number is exactly. But he said this was incorrect. I got the one on top.
Okay, yeah. We're just pulling off the thing. We can't find it in the applications from Christy looking right now. Yeah.
Is that the correct number that you have in front of?
That's the correct parcel number right there, because that's based off the assessor, or off the system. Can you add that, Christy?
Can I add that? I mean, you're going to add those numbers to my motion, aren't you?
Right.
Yes. Tim, is that the correct lot?
This is Tropia, the house in the car.
That's it. Okay. Larry, write that number down. So there's your motion, Danny. So she's got the numbers for those two parcels.
All right.
And I seconded it.
Okay.
Currently, there's a motion and a second on the floor to lower the valuations of parcels ending in numbers 001.020 to 10,000 and 101.001 to 5,000. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. Motion carries.
Now, on the, James, if I'm not mistaken, on the rest of the appeals, you're saying just take his recommendations of the 50 and 60.
On the lodge, we'd have to hold one.
Which one do we hold?
The very first one.
That's the Thomas Lawton?
That was withdrawn.
It's the building.
That was withdrawn, Jim.
Oh,
that's
you got withdrawn.
That's the one, okay. I told you it was withdrawn yesterday because
okay.
I...
Okay, give me that BOE number.
Zero. Yeah.
Motion denied, BOE number 228.
Second.
Is that 0228?
Yes. Sorry.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny BOE parcel number 0228. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. James?
And the rest, I'd set them at those values. I see nothing.
Well, individually, you have the values, and there's a number of them to go through. Shall we leave that to you to give us a report? Or
they're I've done through them.
So just motion to accept.
What do you got on?
That's
let's say the 0230.
Here.
Don't you have a copy of these?
I gave them a copy.
Yeah.
You just got them all laid out there. They're set at 50,000, 50,000, 60,000.
They've got
them set
that 65.
One in here is a 45 and one that's
34. One is a 34. But the reason, If you want me to go, there, believe me, there's a valid reason for it, and
right.
I can support it here if...
I just
there's only two of them,
James,
I think, that are below 50.
James, what I'm questioning is, properly, how should we make the motion? As presented, or...
I'm thinking as presented.
I think as presented. I'm willing to accept that because of... And I wouldn't do that if we hadn't... We set some this morning at
50,000.
At 50,000. So I'm willing to accept that proposal. What are the reasons on the 34?
34 lot. I mean, without going into the whole state of the market
I just wanted to.
Well, for what we've had that lot advertised, and not only is it 34.5, it borders on green space. We've heavily advertised this in this market all through 2010 in every circular that we've put out, and we can't sell this lot for $34,500. And if you look at the analysis of the market and the what we're competing against, it's not a great lot, it's not a bad lot, but it's got a drop off on it. But we've offered owner financing, advertised in Branson Independent every weekend for 6 months on it. I've never received a call on it.
I'm fine with it. I make a motion to accept as presented.
Second. Now, Christy, you're going to be able to sort this out. If there's any conflicts, you're going to come back to us before the end of the month, right? We don't want any increases. Well, if there's increases, we need to know before we send out the increase notices. Is that fair, guys?
It's fair with me. She's doing a thorough check of all those. She called me on some of them the other day.
Yeah.
She called me at home. I was asleep.
James, do you have any reason to believe that any of his recommendations are higher than the valuations you have set?
I don't know, but if they are, he did it to himself.
Wouldn't be the first time either.
Well, you're so giving today.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I want.
It's been tough for everybody, right?
There is a motion and a second to accept all further recommendations by Tim Mahoney regarding these properties.
I have a question.
As per assessor's recommendation. To be ferreted out between you and the ladies that are over here so that we can have an accounting in that. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm just going through these. You know, we left earlier golf front lots. I think we've left a couple of them at 75.
Yep.
Two, is that right?
Yes.
And, well, like this first BOE number ending 0230. I think he's got it down as fair market value is $50,000. Now that's golf front. Oh.
See, that's all we can.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Any more discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Once we have that all ferreted out, we'll send you a copy of what we have done, which will allow you that if you're not happy with what we've done, although it's per your recommendation, you have the right to appeal to the State Tax Commission as well.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
What number are we on, by the way, here?
11:30. BOE 0376.
Page 32.
Gentlemen, we now have Mr. Elkenhoff. First name Sydney, just to let you know, this is an Emerald Point. We have already generated a decision.
Hold on just a minute.
All right.
Let me get that on the computer. And it's at 11.
Yeah, why don't you put it back up there?
Sir, if you'll give us just a minute. Is the value that I'm looking at on the computer the decision that it was lowered to, or was that?
Can you go to the computer and look?
I don't have the video. It has been lowered to 13 to 8.
What was it before? So then I'll know.
14 to 9.
Appraised. We don't work in these.
13 to 8 is 69.9. It was
75. 75.2 wasn't
that, yeah.
Lowered all those to 69.9.
It may not be low enough, but.
That's what we did on the whole thing.
Right, we did. All right. So whatever you're seeing, Ron, you got the numbers in? It was 75.2 and then the motion.
Whoa. Is that a power line he's got in his?
Right in front of it.
Give me a big view of that again. Right in the, give me a view of his lot. That's a power line across there, isn't it?
Yes, right in front of it.
It's
we've got an obsolescence factor we use on the others, Jim.
Yep, we have.
Sir, would you like to go ahead? We're ready to hear you. And then we're going to chat with you about this lot.
Appeal my assessed valuation taxes on that lot. I think it's awfully high. I do know that the way the economy is, that some of the lots are foreclosed out there, and they're way down.
Mm-hmm.
What did we set that other one at? Wasn't it 30 or
35 or 38 or something?
You remember, Dean?
Sir, so that you're clear on what we're doing here, we have reviewed lots that are in this area that have that high line through it,
yep.
And we have set the value lower because of an obsolescence factor of the high line.
Yep.
And so that's what we're trying to figure out is what we did on the other lots so we can set yours and see if it's all right with you because we want to treat everybody fair there.
Great.
And we set the obsolescence. Do you know which one it was? On the,
it was either 35 or 6,000.
It was the first.
Was it 35 or 36? 35 or 38, I think.
Well, these different lots are there are slightly different in size, anywho.
Yeah. That one's getting in, that's almost getting in the middle of his, Ron.
No, it's at the, it abuts up to it, Danny.
I've got a Dennis Litton at 34.9.
Oh, it's part of it, you're right.
Yeah, see that middle deal right in the middle?
Yeah.
Dennis Litton, parcel
that's,
number
that's
18.
That's a highline right there, it's not a road, is it?
No, that's a highline, you can see the pole there. Up there.
See the pole?
18-2.0-03-000-000-018.041.
No one wrote that number down.
I thought she was going to look that up.
Would you look up this number, please?
Yep.
Do it again. Do it again, James.
18-2.0-03-000-000-018.041. I think
go back.
003, I think, should be 03.
Yeah, just take 10 out. Now hit search. 34.9 is what you said. Let's see what the map looks like.
That's how many bird hills. That's the that's
plus
the one.
That's a different.
That's because it was triangle shaped. I'm sorry. I thought I had it.
I know it was 35 or 30.
34.9 is what we set this one for. James, what are you thinking?
In that area, it's up to you guys. It's fine.
I make a motion that we set it at 35,000.
I'll second the motion to set the value at 35,000.
Because of obsolescence, I want to be sure and put that in there because if we have another comparable across the road or something like that, we've got to have that in there.
Would that be better, sir? I mean, it's obviously better.
It's better than it was. my taxes, it had been going up ever since I bought this, though, you know?
Right.
That I don't mind paying a fair share of taxes, but some of these lots that were foreclosed on didn't bring that out there.
We had a comparable list on this entire subdivision, and we took all the way from $10,000 lots to $100,000 and some thousand dollar lots. and we come up with an average, which was 77, I believe, and a median of 69.9, and we set everybody's at 69.9. Yours has happens to be one of them that has an obsolescence factor.
Yeah,
so that's the reason we're lowering it to this factor.
Well, I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. I do.
What? Yes, Christy?
Ronald Joseph Bollinger. We saw him on the 7th. And his BOE ended 60076. And the assessor recommended 36,000 due to power
on. Nathan had that right. It was 36,000.
Make sure that gets in the record.
No, that won't get in the record. Nathan was right.
We're going backwards.
Yeah, hurry for his boat. Get out of here.
What? We got a motion on the floor.
We do.
I didn't even know whether we voted on it or not. But
no, we have not voted on it. And you want to establish them both the same, or you want to leave it at 35? What's your trouble,
sir? I hate to do you this way, but I'm going to establish them both at the same amount. That's what. I feel this way. I want to treat everybody fair, and you're no better than the person that we lowered to 36,000, and so I want to amend my motion to 36,000.
Does the seconder amend his second?
The second will be amended.
Motion's been made and seconded to lower BOE number 0376 to 36,000 due to obsolescence because of the power highline, which is about 50% what it was on for.
Yeah. I know. I said I appreciate it.
Discussion, gentlemen? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you. I enjoy coming down to Branson. I always did. I came down here when it's two-lane roads in Springfield.
Me too.
Okay.
Oh, no, I was going out. Jan, you're up next. Oh.
What do we have left?
Let me guess. We have an 11:45.
Doris K. Kravitz Trust.
Nah. All right. And do we have a phone number for her?
4177. Call
ended. That was great. All I did was boost the button.
What is she asking?
65 to 70,000.
What have we got it on for?
Can you pull up the parcel number, please?
78103. Please enter your...
What is her name again?
No, it's a house. Hannah.
Doris what?
Kravitz.
Meadowbrook Condos is what this is.
Hello?
Yes, I was calling for Doris Kravitz.
Well, this is Stan Kravitz. I am the power of attorney and co-trustee. So.
Okay.
Stan, this is Ron Houseman, and I'm with the Board of Equalization in Taney County, and let you know that you're on speakerphone. The entire board is here. We can all hear you. And the assessor, who is a part of the board, is here as well. And if you would like, sir, we're willing to hear your comments about this parcel of property.
Okay, actually, we have two properties, two lower-level basement or whatever ground-level condominiums in the Meadowbrook Condominium Complex. I guess we just found it shocking when we received the letter that our valuations were going up, knowing that over the last two or three years, property values have gone down, down, down. We have actually tried to sell those properties a couple of different times, and nobody's buying. So we are renting in hopes of just at least trying to retrieve some of the costs that we have on them. I sent a letter. I don't know if you all got a copy of that, but that pretty much explains everything the way I see it. if you base it on similar sales, as far as I could find, there were only a couple of similar sales in the Meadowbrook condominium area. One sold for $70,000 and one for $99,000, and they were both three-bedroom units. Ours is a two-bedroom, lower level. These were three-bedroom penthouses, I guess you'd call them. So had a realtor that we know look next door at Point Royale, which is a fairly similar property. And over there, there were several properties that did sell. And 61,900, that's a three-bedroom. 59,900 is a two-bedroom. 48,000, a two-bedroom. 82,500 is a three-bedroom. And 84,000, a three-bedroom. So I guess I just feel that I don't understand how ours could be valued higher than they have been. And when I first called about this, someone at the office there told me that, well, it was because we got a one-year break and they were just putting it back where it was before. And I said, well, can you tell me what my valuations were the preceding years? And the lady looked, and actually they had not changed. They had not gone down. They had been the same. And the $12,720 for the last 3 years at least. And now the proposal is to jump the valuation to 14,840, which is a 16.7% increase. And so that's kind of a comparison on sales and what's been going on. But, you know, both of these we bought as fully furnished condos, by the way, which certainly would seem to add $3,000 to $6,000 to the value of the condo. So if you pull off the $5,000 or $6,000 or whatever you would estimate the furnishings at, that certainly reduces the price of the or the value of the condominium itself. And this valuation that you're doing seems to take into account the price of the furnished condo. And some of these are furnished, some aren't. Ours happen to be. But I don't know if that should be counted as part of the property value. I think you probably talked with other Meadowbrook owners. We're facing a structural problem. I think there are 10 condominiums altogether. Three of them have shown a serious structural damage. The top floor is sagging, which then affects all of the underneath floors. And in three of the buildings, they've had to go in and do major repairs, which were, I think, well over $100,000 in each of those units. And the way our homeowners association rules are written, all of the condominium people, the homeowners association, shares in those costs. Now, so far that has not been finalized, but the board, the Meadowbrook board, has twice proposed a $2,750 fee or assessment to each condo to take care of that. It's been voted down because people just don't have any money, but that doesn't make the problem go away. It's still there, and the other thing is, the other seven showed that problem yet, but it seems imminent that they probably will. We checked with similar condominiums in other parts of Branson, and I guess they are experiencing similar problems as well. So that would seem also to take away from the value of the property. In other words, if I was going to buy a property there and I found out that this was facing me, I certainly would be reluctant to pay a very high price for those condominiums. And I don't know if you take this into account. Your letter said commercial properties. You would like to know what the profit or loss was, and ours is not a commercial property. We rent them simply to try to recoup some of the costs. We're not a business. But in 2010, one of those condos lost $3,551 The other one, $5,357. In 2009, the net loss was $1,372 on one of them and $3,565 on the other. And in 2008 was a really good year. One of them actually made $1,882 profit. The other one lost $3,466. So you can see we're hanging on. We're wishing we could sell them or whatever, because it just seems like costs keep increasing and we can't rent them for enough to really offset our costs. And, you know, I think obviously you've heard the straw breaking the camel's back parable. This is kind of one of those deals. I realize you folks have your jobs to do, and you need tax monies as well, and I'm sure that the county is in somewhat of a problem area as well. But those are the, I guess, the things that I wanted to point out as problems and why I just don't understand why the values would increase. So I guess I pretty much said what I need to say.
Gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Comments? James.
I, from looking at the sales I had there that hadn't been referred to yet, but are now in your hands, I feel like we are actually low on this condo based on square footage.
James, the condos that you're showing, are these two bedrooms, or are they?
They're all 1,048 square foot, identical to the condo in question.
Okay, I see. I'm looking back.
And I'll be glad to fax these sales.
What about the factor that they're being repaired from an obsolescence perspective?
It's not his. It's the other group, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't yours affected, sir?
It is. Well, it's affected in that we're going to have to share the cost.
Okay.
Our buildings thus far have not been directly affected.
All right. Thank you.
Are you a monthly rental or a nightly rental?
We are a monthly rental.
Okay.
And I guess that brings up another point, though. If we were a nightly rental, I guess I really have a problem with that, and I'm speaking for other owners. These people aren't in this for a business, and I know... they get a commercial thing, and which is, makes theirs even much higher than ours. But it seems like there could be some kind of a in-between kind of a thing. They're not a full-time business, or they're not out to be a business. I guess I don't understand why that rate has to be so much higher, but that's another point.
That's because the Supreme Court of the state of Missouri said so.
Oh, well, that probably...
Now,
yeah,
we've talked about that considerably, but the Supreme Court has dictated what we're going to do here in Missouri. We will, unless you have more to say, and we have everything and all the evidence that you've sent us, we will make a determination on this parcel, and we will send that to you in writing. If, in fact, you're not happy with what we do, sir, we're also going to send you information to the Missouri State Tax Commission, and you will have the ability to appeal to them, who will have the final say in the valuation of the property.
Okay, well, I appreciate you letting us hear talk to you anyway, and I know, like I said, I know you have to do what you have to do, but I certainly hope you will take into account what we are faced with as well.
Yes, sir, we will, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
He was in Bolivar.
I'm going to make a motion for denial of on these sales that James has presented to us.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny BOE parcel number 0358. Discussion.
What were the comparables he had laid out there?
He went to Point Royale.
Well, somewhere.
Yeah, he didn't kind of go to Meadowbrook.
No, he's on subdivision.
And these are all Meadowbrooks.
Even the last one, 80,000, that was in the middle of last year. No, that was this year.
That was this year.
There's, June 10th, yeah.
There's three 10 sales and one 11 yeah. sale that says we're...
We're all right.
We're all right.
Let's see, the two sales that he gave us were in... that were in Meadowbrook were in August of 2010. Both were three-bedroom units, $99,000 and $70,000, and then he lists which ones those were. So there were, he did have some in there.
Okay. The rest were in Port Royal, wasn't
they? And then the others...
Port Royal. All the ones below are Port Royal.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. We will stand in recess until 1 o'clock.